head of the household, the big dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
And welcome back to the highly sought after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show on a throwback Thursday in the doghouse. Today, being at its 420, we have been featuring the reggae music of the well-known lover of the cannabis, that Bob Marley, who died in 1981 at the age of 36, having fathered 11 kids from 7 different women. What are you, Sean Kemp? One of his sons, Rohan Marley, was an undersized starting inside linebacker at the University of Miami. He was only 5'8", but he was a bear, man. I thought he might play a little safety in the NFL. Ended up playing in the CFL for a little bit, and that was it back in the early 90s. So hopefully you've been enjoying the reggae today. Last night, Russell Westbrook with the triple-double that was the most unimpressive triple-double ever, regardless of what anybody else is telling you. Everybody's flipping out over this triple-double that Russell Westbrook had. Oh, Kevin Harlan screaming at me. 51 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. First ever 50-point triple-double. Reggie Miller hyperventilating. Need to go change his pants every quarter. Westbrook was brutal in the fourth quarter, making just 4 of 18 shots. Really? They don't have another guy that can make a basket? He ended up 17 of 43, including 2 of 11 from three-point land. And they were quick to throw that stat up there that this was the highest scoring triple-double in NBA history, surpassing Charles Barkley and Oscar Robertson's 43-point efforts. What they never mentioned on the broadcast or in any of the stories that I've been reading is that Chuck was 16 of 22. Russ was 17 of 43. And Chuck was 11 for 11 from the line, from the free throw line. He did not take a three in that game. I said free throw line, not three. I know sometimes with me, free and three sound the same. 11 for 11 from the free throw line in his 43-point game, which was a win for the Phoenix Suns. And at the big O was 17 of 25 from the field. And they didn't have a three-point line then. And that was a win as well for the Cincinnati Royals. Who knows how many 2017 points Robertson may have had in that game. He was an outside shooting guy. Have they gone back and looked at it? His 43 might be 54. Who knows how many threes he might have made? And Barkley, he did all his damage in the paint. If Barkley had, look, Barkley shot 72% from the field. 100% from the free throw line. 72% from the field. Do the math. If Charles Barkley jacked up 43 shots, he scored 63 points without the benefit of a three-pointer. Can we get a little honesty in the reporting? That was the most unimpressive triple-double ever. Whatever he did in the first half was washed away in the fourth quarter. But everything was like, Russell Westbrook. James Harden's the MVP. Oh, that guy is a ball hog. He shot way too much. Trying to take all of that on like that himself. That's easy to defend. Just jacking a ball up one shot after another. If you missed it, according to Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News, Cyrus Quandro, former Alabama guard, was involved in a bizarre incident. Police found him partially clothed and asking police to shoot him. According to the report, an Erie County Sheriff's deputy found Quandro lying in a field after climbing over an electric fence. And it was near the scene of an accident. A police source told the news that Quandro yelled, "Shoot me!" as police approached. Quandre was not arrested, but he was taken to a nearby hospital for observation. Let me get Wolverine Dan in here. Did he hang in? I went to a different page and I completely didn't have my screen. Oh my gosh, let me get him in here. Wolverine Dan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm doing quite well. Couple things. The tickets are all taken care of and don't worry about it. And Lucy took care of us. Everything's fine. Okay.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. As far as the showing football on the screen, especially in pros, you know, at the end of the game or toward the end of the game, and the other team that you're kind of sort of playing against that isn't, you know, the team you're not playing at that moment, if you keep track of the game or somebody, one of the coaches tells one of the guys on a team to keep track of the game, that determines what that team does on the field depending on what's on the screen. You understand what I'm saying?
From showing the other games during the, during the commercial
breaks?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, like for instance, if this other team, if the team's losing, then, you know, then at the end of the game.
Well, they know that the scores are up there. I mean, they know the scores. I mean, if they need to know what's going on in terms of, you know, they're always up in the stadium. I'm just saying, when they go to a timeout, instead of showing us the latest, you know, Golden Flake commercial, you know, why not put the Golden Flake thing around the outside and show us, you know, the highlights of the other games, what's going on. They do some of that, but why not cut to a game like they, you know, cut to the Red Zone channel or something?
You know, and the other thing I was going to touch, it's good to hear, Charlie, as far as the Predneck Nation, you know, they stole that thing from us, okay? They throw the catfish out. Come on.
I did the whole story on it when I did a catfish tradition. On Tradition Tuesday, I told the whole story. Do you remember the year, the first year that somebody threw the octopus on the ice for Detroit?
I think it was 1953 or something.
52. And why is it an octopus?
Well, because of the eight teams in the playoffs.
No, it was eight. Yeah, you had to win eight games then.
Right.
In 52, you had to win eight. And that's why there's two octopus that go up in the rafters during the – I forget what they call it, what their name is, but during the playoffs now, and at the Joe, of course, and I assume they'll do it at the new whatever they're going, the pizza joint. When they raise they do two octopus now, so that they got 16 legs because it takes 16 games to win the cup.
Right. Now, right. With that said, the lovely Miss Ginger and I are heading down to the Art Institute. They're having a party down there.
Really?
And the reason why I'm saying this, Tom, you know, there's things that you keep, you know, with you for years, and you cherish them. You don't, how do I say it? You take care of them. You make sure it lasts. Tom, I'm looking at a pair of shoes I've had since 1980. They're wingtips, and they're mint condition. They're 37 years old, Tom.
Wow. Well, how often do you wear them, though? You don't wear them to deliver mail. And I mean, you probably only wear them once a year.
No, I don't wear them once a year. I probably wear them about a dozen times a year. You think about that. After 37 years, and they still look like they're brand new. I got little cedar wooden shoehorns. You know the shoehorns, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of guys these days don't know what that means.
Yeah, shoehorn. Yeah, I never had one. My dad used a shoehorn all the time. And then you throw like a mothball or something in the shoe, too, to keep it from getting a moth or anything in there.
Yeah, plus, you know, it gets rid of the stink. Although mothballs does stink, to be honest with you. You know, they used down south here, I saw mothballs, true story, and somebody was still putting it around the perimeter of their fence. I go, what are you doing? They said it keeps the snakes away.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
Yes, sir. That's what they say. It keeps the snakes away. So
I like the smell of a mothball.
Okay?
You know, it's weird. I dig the smell of a mothball. I've got it. We've got a little.
Really?
Well, yeah. Well, it's the servants' quarters at our house. Right next to our house, we have what was. I mean, it's a 100-year-old house. So there used to be a servants' quarters. We use it as our storage area. Now it's a separate little shed house. You know, right next to the house.
Service
anyway,
quarters. Nice.
That's what it's called. The service quarters. Anyway, put the mothballs in there.
My hearing must be going bad because I keep thinking you're saying Cialis for that one guy, and then service quarters. I could have sworn you said that, and I thought, well, gee, you must be doing pretty good. You got people taking care of you.
I go, well, there was. There used to be at this house. There was people that took care of the judge, but not for, we use it as a storage room, but it is a full-blown, it's like a cabin right on our property, and it's called the service quarters.
Really?
It's right next to the house, but we use it with all our stuff, and my wife put mothballs in there, and there's all, like, cedar in there and stuff, and when you open the door, it smells so good.
Oh, my God. So maybe once a week you go in there and take a whiff and say, this is nice,
this is
and then
nice,
shut the door.
Man. Oh, yeah, just open the door, shut the door, you know, just to get a whiff of the mothballs.
Okay, well, I'll remember that around Christmas time. I'll buy you, like, a case of mothballs or something.
Are the Havoc going to win tomorrow night, even that series, or what? Are they in trouble?
Well, let's hope so. I mean, they have to. That's it. You know, that's it. Yeah, they lost last night,
right.
So, I mean, that's it. I mean, let's hope they win. I mean, geez, this team, for all this time, it was doing so well, man. You know how this league is, Tom. These guys, you know, I don't blame them. They move up to make more money and, you know, try to get one more crack at the NHL. You know what I mean?
Does Ginger have her hand up your shirt in the back? Is she like you're a mannequin and she's doing all the talking and your mouth is moving and she's like giving you, she's telling you what to say?
It's a full-time job keeping this man on track, okay? Because...
He's sitting on your lap. He's sitting on your lap, and he's sitting on your lap. You got your hand in his back, and you're making his mouth move and stuff.
Yeah. That's right. I'm the puppet, and she's the puppeteer.
Because he puts his foot in his mouth so often.
That's okay. You know what? I'm gonna go find that hockey player's name, and we'll take care of business. I'll see you later.
You're Ginger in the background. Hey, they lost last night. You're telling us what's going on.
Good heads up, Ginger.
It's a good job by Ginger. DeShone Kizer. Did you see what this dude said? DeShone Kizer, he has given us an evaluation of himself. This is the former Notre Dame quarterback. He told Tom Pelissero of the USA Today that he believes that he has a combination of Tom Brady's brain and Cam Newton's body and can put that together into one package and be the best quarterback in NFL history. He said, quote, name a college quarterback who goes into the game plan meetings on Monday and throws his notes at the coach.
I couldn't find any scheduled games or scores matching your request.
Why is Siri talking? See, my phone hears me over there because I yell so loud. Siri, I'm not talking to you. Let's see what she says. Hey, I'm not talking to you. Please leave me alone.
Me?
Yeah, you. Yeah, you.
We're doing a show over here, Siri.
I thought so.
Oh, yeah, did you?
I'm doing a sports talk radio show over here.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
It's okay. Wolverine, Dan, and Ginger say it's okay.
Don't apologize to Siri.
I'm sorry.
Stop saying I'm sorry. It shows a sign of weakness.
I'm sorry.
Dumb phone. It's supposed to be a smartphone. A dumb phone. Ridiculous. All right. Anyway, so Kizer says name a quarterback goes in and throws his notes at the coaches. No one else game plans the way I do. No one else prepares the way I do. No one else knows football the way I do. No one else is as big as I am. No one else is as powerful a runner as I am. Pat Mahomes might throw the ball 80 yards. I can only throw it 72, but I guarantee you he can't throw the out route the way I can. No one else can do what I can do. And I've truly figured out in this process, if I can maximize all my potential in every aspect of the game, this is bold, but I have the ability to be the greatest quarterback to ever play. Imagine taking Tom Brady's intellect and Brady's preparation and putting it on a guy with Cam Newton's body. Why can't I be the greatest? The only thing stopping me is me. That's what's driving me now.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
I mean, arrogance is one thing. Confidence is one thing. That kind of arrogance, man.
He said, why can't I be the greatest? Well, maybe because your last year in college, you only threw 58% completion percentage, my man. I mean, I'm not saying that necessarily matters 100%, but come on.
Matters a lot.
Yeah, it matters quite a bit, maybe 99.
A lot of other bad decisions and things. I mean, the team didn't win any games. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about. You know, he got the job because the starter got hurt. I don't know. By the way, as far as having Cam Newton's body, he's shorter and he's lighter, and he did worse than Newton on every speed and agility test at the scouting combine. But other than that, he's got the same body. Apparently, he's got two legs, two arms, and can write his name in the snow. I guess he's got the same body, yeah.
I think he's missing the goo, too. You know what I mean? No goo.
He's not. Look, I don't think he's dripping goo. I'm pretty sure he's not dripping goo.
For me, you're somewhere between a cockroach and that white stuff that accumulates at the corner of your mouth when you're really thirsty.
I don't know why it's so awesome, but hearing you say dripping goo is hilarious.
Nah,
it cracks me up.
Not dripping goo. All right. And by the way, speaking of I'm the everything and I'm the greatest, what does George Raveling, Hall of Fame basketball coach George Raveling, put in the Basketball Hall of Fame 2 years ago, what does he think is the worst thing to happen to college basketball in the last 100 years? Not in the last 10 years, not in the last 2 years, the last 100 years.
Ooh, I know. Ooh, me.
What do you think?
LeVar Ball.
You dirt-eating piece of slime, you scum-sucking pig, you son of a motherless goat.
He didn't say that about him. Worst thing to happen to college basketball in the last 100 years. He said that Lonzo Ball should get automatic entrance into heaven for just having to deal with LeVar being his father. He said down the hall to the left and have a suite, son. That's how Lonzo should be greeted at the pearly gates. Raveling said that he does think that Lonzo will be a top three pick. It depends, I think, on where the Lakers are picking. Might be number two. Worst thing to happen to college basketball in the last 100 years. That's a lot of time. I'm just saying. I mean, 100 years isn't nothing. That's a lot of time.
I was really expecting you to play that Pete Rose clip.
Oh, no. Because Pete doesn't have a sense of what 100 years is. You know, he thinks
that's a quarter of a century.
No. See, it's 100 years is more than a quarter of a century.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. It's a long time. But it's more than a quarter of a century. All right. And finally, let me get this one out of here. I'm getting rid of all the stuff on my stack I brought to the show today. Wonderlic test. I need to take this thing. I'm wondering what I would get on it.
I want to take it so bad.
The Wonderlic test, 50 multiple choice questions to be answered in 12 minutes. A score of 20 is average. Score of 10 or higher indicates that you're literate. Delvin Cook and LSU's Leonard Fournette got an 11. Remember, Vince got a 6, Vince Young. Then he came back and they said, no, it was a 16. So he went from illiterate to literate. Joe Mixon got a 12. Christian McCaffrey from Stanford got a 21. He better get a 21. Check this out. Alvin Kamara got a 24. The average for running backs is 16. Who do you think the smartest guy on the team is? McTester.
What team are you talking about?
Who's the smartest guy?
It's got to be the quarterback.
No. The quarterbacks in the NFL averaged a 24 on their Wonderlic. You want to take another shot at it?
If that's really surprising. So I, wow, offensive lineman maybe?
The offensive tackle is the highest Wunderlich score of all at 26, and the second is the center at 25.
Wow.
Then the guard, then the quarterback at 24. The guard averages 23. Tight ends average 22. Safeties average 19. Linebackers 19. Wide receivers 17. Fullbacks 17. Running backs 16. Defensive linemen don't have to take it. It doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, you think about it now.
On the list.
I mean, now that I think about it, it makes sense for the offensive lineman to be the smartest one out there when, you know, you've got all the success. I mean, I know the most valuable position is the quarterback, but when you have so much success that starts with them, it like they always say, it starts in the trenches. So,
right. All right. We got a break in here. When we come back, we'll rewind it. It's the Tom Abraham Show. 730-1039 AM.
730 and 1039. The Ump. More sports. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
So Auburn head football coach Gus Malzahn joins the show this morning, tells us he expects Kyle Davis to be back for fall practice. Big for Auburn. You look at this receiving core, there's not a wide receiver returning with over 30 catches from a year ago. Really not one with over 25 receptions. And Kyle Davis brings a different style target to Chip Lindsey's offense, one in which he wants to push the ball down the field vertically, wants to challenge corners and safeties down the sideline, and Jarrett Stidham obviously has the arm to be able to do it. Now, I'm not going to say that Auburn's offense is going to be make or break with or without Kyle Davis, but I do think the addition of a big physical receiver that has the speed to challenge safeties down the sideline would be big for this Auburn offense, critical enough to maybe swing a game or two. Kyle Davis being back, if Malzahn's right, is huge for the Tigers.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Archie Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump.
All right, Braves fans, it's time to chop on because your next chance to hear Atlanta Braves baseball will be on Saturday right here on The Ump. The Braves take their show back on the road, this time into Philadelphia to start a three-game series with the Phillies. Things didn't start out so hot on the road for the Braves this year, only going 2-6, but since then turned things around, winning 5 in a row, including 4 at home. So there's still plenty to cheer about for your Atlanta Braves, and that all starts right here on The Ump at 6:20 p.m.
Southwest Grill is a fun and engaging fast casual restaurant serving a wide variety of fresh, made-to-order Southwest fare in an awesome environment. Everyone is welcome at Moe's. Visit the new Moe's Southwest Grill at Bridge Street today for tasty burritos, tacos, nachos, salads, burrito bowls, and so much more. And no one makes queso like Moe's makes queso. Download the Moe's app today for your free cup of queso. Moe's Southwest Grill, where everyone is welcome and no one leaves hungry.
Welcome to Moe's!
We like saving you money. So this Friday morning, get your $50 gift certificate for $25. It's the sweet deal of the week. The half-price sweet deal never tasted so good. Friday morning at 9, log on and click on the sweet deal. A $50 gift certificate to Moe's Southwest Grill for only $25. UmpSports.com.
Good times with your family last a lifetime with the help of Madison RV Supercenter. Are you ready to hit the open road in your own RV, fifth wheel, or travel trailer? Or do you need a toy hauler? With hundreds to choose from and a huge variety of brands and price ranges, Madison RV Supercenter has what you need. Madison RV Supercenter has the best, most experienced sales and service team in Alabama and are ready to meet your RV needs better than anyone. Visit us today and experience the difference Madison RV Supercenter can make.
Today, there are over 47 million Ford vehicles on the road, rolling on over 188 million tires. That's a lot of rubber to trust to anyone other than a hardworking specialist at Ford Service. No one knows your Ford better than Ford and Ford Service.
Get a $140 rebate by mail on 4 select tires when you use the Ford Service credit card at the Big Tire event. Subject to credit approval, rebate by prepaid debit card. Other tire manufacturer rebate or offer cannot be combined with Ford Service credit card rebate or offer. See your participating Ford dealer for details through 6/30/17.
Keep your lawn looking awesome with Superior Lawn Care. Use our probiotic lawn care program and expect less weeds in a very thick, green, and lush yard. Better results while using 70% less chemicals. Biologically, we help nourish your lawn and support healthy growth and roots. Our lawn care specialists are ready to help you with the necessary products to maximize the beauty of your lawn. Now is the time. Visit IHateWeeds.com to set up your free quote. Superior Lawn Care. We come, weeds go.
Not available in all states.
Hey, you two, what brings you to the mall?
We're just here checking on our robot.
Your robot?
Yeah, our recent Irvy's Froyo robot. Diane and I became franchisees last month.
And couldn't be happier. It serves premier frozen yogurt creations to customers in 60 seconds. And the yogurt is delicious.
Yep, our customers absolutely love it. That's it over there.
Whoa, that's incredible. People really do love your Froyo robot. So, you own this?
Sure do. Reese and Irvy's Froyo robots are available across the country, and it's super easy. Reese and Irvy's provided us with everything we needed. They even help you secure amazing locations. Movie theaters, grocery stores, college campuses, theme parks. They make any location a sensation.
And everyone loves frozen yogurt. That's incredible. How do I get a Froyo robot of my own?
You just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 9898. But hurry, because locations and robots are going fast.
Froyo.
Yeah, froyofranchising.com. Promo code 989.
You can't get any fresher than your own vegetable garden. Right now at the Home Depot, 4.5-inch Bonnie veggies and herbs are not only as fresh as you can get, but you can get four of them for only $12. That's not only thinking green, that's saving green. So pass the salad and stop and smell the rosemary. Get a fresh take on spring with 4.5-inch Bonnie veggies and herbs, four for just $12. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through April 30th. U.S. only. Excludes organics. Not valid in Alaska or Hawaii.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Indeed.com delivers five times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site. Indeed.com.
A few spots could see a passing shower or storm this evening. Otherwise, fair late tonight, the low 63. Tomorrow, a warm day, some sunshine during the morning. Thunderstorms developing by mid to late afternoon. Those storms could be on the strong side. The afternoon high at 83 degrees. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
Bob Marley. It was a buffalo soldier. Because it is 420. All right, on today's radio show, Larry Woody was in talking Bristol Week. No, we didn't even talk. Did we talk Bristol? Yeah, we did a little bit. We talked fishing because he was on the lake. But Larry Woody, Alan Carpenter talked baseball with us, TomahawkTake.com. Also on the show today was Bo Morgan from the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Matt Scalise was in from AL.com. And then Crazy Charlie Saunier joined us from the Predneck Nation radio show. We put that all in the mixer. We call it the Rapid Rewind. They brought Kyle Larson to Huntsville, the points leader, and we had him on the show. What a great kid. I mean, you know, if people would just pay attention, I mean, there are some great young guys. Some of them, not so much. That's why I think part of the thing with Logano and Bush and, you know, you got to have a good guy and a bad guy. If you got two guys that nobody likes either one of them, then nobody cares, you know, if there's a – you got to have a good guy and a bad guy. This kid, Kyle Larson, though.
You got to have a hero for every villain.
You got to have a hero. I mean, this kid. Right. But Larson, Chase Elliott, you know, there's some really good young guys in this deal that are good guys. I like Logano. I've never been a Bush fan. But Larson is the real deal, man, and he's a great little driver.
He is. And interestingly, Tom, Larson and – are 1-2 in the point. If you talk about a youth movement, and both of them, as you said, Tom, are just super, I say kids or young men, but they're super young men and super talent. So when we see those kids on the track, we're seeing the future of the sport, I think.
Yeah, no question. And, of course, the Bush brothers have been so good at Bristol in the past, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Kevin Harvick going for a win there, and they need to kind of get going a little bit, you know, and get that thing started up again. I mean, he's doing, you know, okay in the points, But he just, you know, he's always been very, very good at Bristol. He's a guy, it's a driver's track, and he seems to shine there.
Yeah, Bush brothers, you know, they're tough little drivers. At one time, they kind of owned that track. It's like Darrell Waltrip and Rusty Wallace in the old days. But they're it's a tough, old-fashioned kind of racetrack, and it's made for tough, old-fashioned kind of race drivers, and the Bush brothers are that. And they keep it, when we're in the vicinity, there's usually something interesting going on. So, and I don't think it's bad. You know, sometimes they may go a little overboard, some of the guys, but as long as they keep it in, you know, it reasonably under control and keep it on the racetrack, I don't have any problem with it. You know, emotions and passion, that's supposed to be part of a stock car driving. That's why they don't, it's not tennis, it's stock car driving. So I don't have any problem with that. And that up to a point, I think it's good for the sport. Show a little passion. You know, they'll earn heart. You know, he didn't mince around on the racetrack. He would. The thing about Earnhardt is, you know, Tom, he could dish it out, but he could also take it. Some of the younger drivers today, they seem willing to dish it out, but then when it comes their turn to take it, they get a little defensive. So that's the difference in the young guys and Earnhardt. He would give a lick, but they'd also take a lick, and he wouldn't complain when it came his turn to take one.
Well, Earnhardt and Waltrip, I mean, you know, people don't understand. Someday somebody will look back and they'll say, okay, that did more for NASCAR. They were, that was the beginning of the explosion, and a lot of it was Earnhardt and Waltrip, you know, and how they went.
Don't forget the Allison boys and Cale Yarborough, too.
Oh, yeah.
They had their share of skin, knees, and elbows back then.
All right, the Braves, they got off the laugh meter with the 5-game winning streak. Yeah, I know San Diego, you know, they swept San Diego, but they, you know what, they've played pretty well against the Nats as well, and a lot of people think the Nats are the team to beat, which they are in the National League East. They have played well tonight, though. They run R.A. Dickey out there, and they'll have a familiar face back in Matt Kemp, right?
They will. There's been a couple roster moves today. Matt Kemp was made space for by optioning Johan Camargo back to Gwinnett. But they've also made a change for the bullpen, too. Since Luke Jackson's been more or less abused by having to pitch three nights in a row, they've optioned him out to Gwinnett. And since also Josh Colemanter had some pitching last night, it brought back Aaron Blair so that he can be the long guy in the bullpen, just in case they need that as well. So those are the two moves right away. Personally, I'm now on record saying I don't think that's enough because the bench is still an issue, but that's what's been done. As far as the lineup goes tonight, Kemp will be hitting cleanup. Dansby Swanson, who has been struggling, is going to get the night off.
Mm.
In his stead will be Jace Peterson at shortstop, so that may be interesting for infield defense. But what I think is even more interesting is that Adonis Garcia has been put in to the two-hole in the lineup. Personally, I would have brought Brandon Phillips up there. He's been an on-base and hitting machine. Garcia, not so much. So if you're going to have guys like Freddie Freeman and Matt Kemp in there, I'd like to see guys who are getting on base more often. Ender Inciarte has been doing much better at that in the last week. Brandon Phillips has been doing very well, but he's been hitting further down the lineup. So I don't like that, but that's what we got tonight.
Dansby had a big hit in the San Diego series and was the hero of one of the games, but just 8 hits and 61 at-bats. I mean, that's a 131. You don't like to use averages right now because it's still a little bit early, but, you know, when you've had 61 at-bats, he's got the most at-bats of anybody on the team. So when you've had 61 at-bats, I think you start getting a little bit of a feel. What do you think is going on there? How much of it is, you know, I don't want to say sophomore slump. He's still technically a rookie. But what do you think the issue is with Swanson?
There is a lot of bad luck involved, and you have to say that because he has more line drives and line drive outs than anybody on the team. In fact, I think the information I've seen is that he has more line drive outs than anybody in the majors. Yeah. So he is getting good wood on the ball when he's hitting it. When he's getting sliders thrown to him, he's having a lot of trouble with those. A lot of strikeouts on sliders. He also has a lot of strikeout calls on pitches that are outside the strike zone. So it's a combination of a lot of bad luck as far as that goes. But at the same time, you can see last night he's getting frustrated at the plate, frustrated with some of the calls he's seeing. and really needs a good day off to go regroup and then hopefully come back when they start the road trip this weekend and see if we can get something fresh going.
Bo Morgan, Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, our guest talking some Falcons here. Defensively, as you said, so Marquand Manuel takes over as a defensive coordinator. But Dan Quinn's a defensive guy. I mean, I don't know how much that matters as much when you've got a defensive guy there. I've always said that about, you know, Bill Belichick and all his defensive coordinators. You know, Bill Belichick's running that defense, and these guys are doing the dirty work. But having said that, I'm sure they want to be better defensively. Look, this team doesn't have a whole lot of holes, but talk about draft needs and what they might be shopping for on the defensive side of the ball.
Front seven. I hear a lot of safety talk, but, you know, the only place you need a safety would be free safety. You got a great guy in Ricardo Allen who's had 7 picks over the last 2 seasons in this Dan Quinn defense. 2 of those were very huge in the playoffs. They need front seven. They got to fill holes on the defensive line. Not to mention, if you look at our linebackers right now, you got basically 3 on the roster, and 2 of them are rookies. The other's the guy that's a special teams player. You know, he's a backup. And now they've taken Kamal Ishmael, who has been a safety his whole career, and they're going to make him a linebacker. And Dan talked about that today in their pre-draft press conference that I was at, where he said, look, basically Kamal's going to be, this spring, he is going to be another linebacker. So that's something that's needed. You look at what they built on last year. They had 4 rookies on defense. So the defense is very young. And the linebacker especially, I think a guy like Hassan Reddick could be there. You know, at a Temple, he's fast and he's physical, which is their mantra. But he's also kind of a guy that's not afraid to hit you, and that's what they want. But just as that, we need another pass rusher too, a true defensive end. And every time they sign defensive linemen, they're outside of a Don Terry Poe or even maybe, you know, the draft of Grady Jarrett. It's their guys are going to be 6'5", 265 plus. They love guys that they can rotate in and out. Claiborne played in last year predominantly, but his first year here under the system, he rolled in and out. You know, the Jack Crawfords of the world who they signed, Derek Shelby's. So they like that style of guy. You know, I've heard Takaris McKinley's name thrown around. He's a little light in the britches, but the Taco Charltons of the world, those are guys that could be there. Carl Lawson, I mean, you guys probably know him a little bit, being in that area.
A little bit.
Those are the guys that maybe fit that mold. But I think they got to go front seven in one of the first 2 rounds. I just couldn't imagine them not on the defensive side because that's where their main needs are.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, he wasn't difficult to deal with so much as at Alabama. Having these issues obviously become a problem, and I think the biggest issue anybody ever had to watch this kid play from the time he was a freshman and going down on kickoffs was it seemed like at some point in time he was going to kill himself, that he would break his neck, because I don't know that I've ever seen a guy go with such reckless abandon. And I would almost be concerned of a, you know, Colin McCarthy's a good friend of mine, that a kid that played with the Titans out of Miami and had a very short career, ended up 3-4 years in the NFL. Second year he was a captain defensively for the Titans, and he played with such reckless abandon that he had to stop playing. After 3-4 years of his NFL career, he couldn't play anymore because he kept hurting himself. That's the thing that I worry about with Reuben Foster, sometimes even more than some of the off-the-field stuff. I mean, we know about Warren Sapp at falling in the draft, became a Hall of Famer. Randy Moss falling in the draft, became a Hall of Famer. Maybe Reuben falls in the draft. I wonder if the guy can keep his body together.
Well, he stayed relatively healthy at Alabama. He certainly did have a few issues here and there. And that reckless abandon, you know, that's why we know Reuben Foster's name, I think. You know, it's simultaneously what makes him a dangerous pick and a great pick. Because he plays with a degree of energy and intensity that I don't think you see from many other players. You know, as far as the not getting into trouble off the field at Alabama, I think for the most part you'll hear anybody say only great things about Reuben and his personality and his character. That isn't ever necessarily going to be something that dissuades an NFL team from having concerns if they have other reasons to be concerned. There's plenty of examples of guys who went to Alabama, stayed totally out of trouble when they were at Alabama, and couldn't stay out of it once they got out of Alabama. And some of that, people will tell you, is the structure at Alabama just sort of doesn't allow these guys to fail. You know, Rolando McClain and Trent Richardson are two guys who, you know, really had just looked like the model player when they were at Alabama, and they really haven't been able to stay out of issues since they left UA. So I think my experiences around Ruben, I think sometimes there's a misperception about him as a guy who's a troublemaker or a diva somehow. And I'm not really sure exactly how he got that reputation, but anybody who's actually spent some time around him and talked to him will tell you otherwise. He's actually a pretty humble kid and a really, really likable guy that doesn't get into fights with teammates or even opponents. He's a guy that most people love to be around. He's a very lovable personality. It doesn't mean he doesn't make bad decisions sometimes. And so, you know, hopefully that's something that gets cleared up for him soon.
You know, and the key, I think, will be that the Blackhawks will try to bait them into some penalties and so on. But if the Preds can just stay out of the box, if they can stay at the 5-on-5, they've got an 8-1 advantage in this series so far in 5-on-5 play. They have just got to skate away from whatever the Blackhawks try to sucker them into.
Well, we saw in Game 3 how the Preds had penalties that they could have controlled. Too many men on the ice, a delay of game for puck over the glass, weak cross-check in the offensive zone right there. That was 3 penalties in the second period of Game 3 that the Preds easily could have avoided or controlled better. That, of course, allowed Patrick Kane to get his first of the series and get on the board and give the Blackhawks a 2-0 lead. And that's the only time the Blackhawks have had momentum in this series is when the Preds have taken a couple of penalties. I believe you're absolutely right, Doc. If the Preds get up by a goal in this thing, Chicago's going to start trying to take some runs, start trying to take some liberties, and rough some people up, because you never know what you can end up in scenario-wise. You could get the Preds off their game. You could get them taking dumb penalties. You could get guys running all around the ice. Hell, you could just get Chicago all fired up by going out there and picking a couple of fights with some guys. You never know how it's going to unfold when a team has their back against the wall, but the Blackhawks are a wounded animal, and I expect them to come out aggressive, angry, frustrated, and all those things at the same time, and give the Preds one heck of a hockey game. They are a championship-caliber team. They have won championships. At least the core of the team has won a couple, and so I think that they're going to rally and come out tonight and give the Preds a good game. Chicago gets a goal in the first 10. They're going to rally. They're going to get some energy. If Nashville gets that first goal, you might see Chicago fold it up and say, not again. We did see a lot of heads hanging low on the bench for Chicago after the OT winner in Game 3. And Doc, we talked about it. Those odd-numbered games, so much momentum. It would all be the pressure on the Blackhawks, on the Preds tonight, the Blackhawks had won in Game 3. But it turns out all the pressure is now on the Blackhawks, and they have a big hill to climb.
I got to be honest with you, man. I nodded off in the third period. I fell asleep. I woke up about 1 o'clock, 1:15 in the morning, and I said, oh my God. And my wife was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she thought something happened to one of the kids or whatever. And I'm like, Fiala came back and scored and for the Preds and won the game in overtime. And I immediately went and got the highlight and you couldn't believe it. Forsberg chipping them in, but it was the weirdest type game because, I mean, the Preds out, you know, they dominated the game. They were dominating the game down 0-2, and they're dominating the hockey game. It could have been a 5-2 game, and then just finally they break through in the third period, and they got to keep that momentum going.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I don't know if you've caught this story going around, Doc, but Philip Forsberg went on NHL Network the morning after the game, and he said that in the locker room pre-overtime, Kevin Fiala called his shot.
Nice.
And said, boys, I'm going to get this one tonight. I'm going to send us home winners. And was he ever right? A 20-year-old with that much confidence? Well, let's face it, that's what got him in trouble as an 18- and 19-year-old, was being so cocky and confident that he was sure he was an NHLer. And he didn't handle his time in the minors very well. This time, getting an opportunity with the big club and making the most of it, an overtime game winner. And he had 3 glorious chances right on the doorstep. Corey Crawford actually deserves a lot of credit. 46 saves in Game 3 right there. He has not been the problem for the Chicago Blackhawks. The problem for the Chicago Blackhawks is that Pekka Rinne has more points than everyone on the entire Blackhawks roster through 3 games. Oh, yeah, he's also happens to be playing a pretty good job in goal over there, with a .67 goals against average through three after having a career average in the playoffs of .252. So the Preds are doing everything right, playing all three zones, playing the physical game, and their goaltender is playing outstanding right now. Preds should get this thing done tonight, Tom. That's what I'm saying.
And there you have it. That is your Rapid Rewind here on April 20th, 2017. All right, when we return, we'll tell you what to watch on TV tonight. It's the Tom Abraham Show. Final segment is next right here on 730-1039.
The Ump. WUMP 730 and 1039. The Ump.
This is Tiki Barber with a CBS Sports Minute. Even though I haven't played football with Eli Manning in over a decade, I've known him for a long time. And as those who also know him can attest, he rarely, if ever, gets emotionally charged. So this afternoon, when he raised his voice and expressed his anger at the suggestion that he in any way did something untoward regarding this recent game-used memorabilia fiasco, it caught my ear. And you know what? I tend to believe him. First of all, the signed merchandise business has always been a false marketplace to me, with pricing arbitrary and the margin loss of the athlete in most cases. What does that mean? In this case, relative to his NFL salary, it means that Eli isn't getting rich by signing his name. He has no motive to cheat the customer. Love or hate his game on the field, Eli Manning has always carried himself with class and dignity off of it. I'm not willing to call him a cheat because he's getting sued by some memorabilia hound. I'm Tiki Barber.
Look into any great business, whether it's a manufacturer or a hotel, a store, school, or hospital. Look into each and every one of them and you'll find the same thing. Great people. At Kronos, we believe that great businesses are powered by great people. And with Kronos Workforce Solutions, we'll help you find them, keep them, and engage them. Learn more at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Howdy, folks. KFC's Colonel Sanders here. You have someone in your life you want to get KFC's new $10 chicken share with? It could be a friend, more than a friend, or even a spouse. It's okay. Be brave. Go ahead and say, I want to get a $10 chicken share from KFC and share a chicken with you. It's who you are. Don't be ashamed. Just head to a KFC and share 9 extra crispy tenders, 6 pieces of original recipe, a lot of popcorn nuggets, or 12 hot wings. And don't be afraid to be who you are. KFC. It's finger-licking good. Limited time offer. Participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra. Hot wings not available to all locations.
Maintain.
Hey, great show Thursday morning. Former Missouri head football coach Gary Pinkel had some heavy compliments for Alabama's Nick Saban. Auburn head coach Gus Malzahn also joined the show, talked about the return of Kyle Davis potentially this fall. Vegas Runner was with us, as well as the Jocks Roundtable's Lance Taylor. Catch all those podcasts at umpsports.com and listen to Cube Show weekdays 6 to 10 right here on the Ump.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable.
it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Spring is in. The sales are crazy. And we wanted to do a little something special for all our favorite ladies. Goodies is having our customer appreciation sale. And it's a celebration of everything you love. More deals, more brands, and more doorbusters. Starting this Thursday, score 60% off doorbusters on styles for the whole family and home goods, too. Plus, we have fresh deals every day with even more new looks arriving monthly. Goodies. What will new bring out in you? Goodies is part of our Sage family. Offer exclusions apply.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
You'll hear Crimson Tide Baseball as they go on the road to Starkville to take on Mississippi State. Coverage starts at 5:55 p.m. right here on The Ump. Roll Tide.
Good times with your family last a lifetime with the help of Madison RV Supercenter. Are you ready to hit the open road in your own RV, fifth wheel, or travel trailer? Or do you need a toy hauler? With hundreds to choose from and a huge variety of brands and price ranges, Madison RV Supercenter has what you need. Madison RV Supercenter has the best, most experienced sales and service team in Alabama and are ready to meet your RV needs better than anyone. Visit us today and experience the difference Madison RV Supercenter can make.
Welcome to the Oh!
Moe's Southwest Grill is a fun and engaging fast casual restaurant serving a wide variety of fresh, made-to-order Southwest fare in an awesome environment. Everyone is welcome at Moe's. Visit the new Moe's Southwest Grill at Bridge Street today for tasty burritos, tacos, nachos, salads, burrito bowls, and so much more. And no one makes queso like Moe's makes queso. Download the Moe's app today for your free cup of queso. Moe's Southwest Grill, where everyone is welcome and no one leaves hungry.
Welcome to Moe's!
We like saving you money. So this Friday morning, get your $50 gift certificate for $25. It's the sweet deal of the week. The half-price sweet deal never tasted so good. Friday morning at 9. Log on and click on the sweet deal. A $50 gift certificate to Moe's Southwest Grill for only $25. Umpsports.com.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
The better you drive, the more you save. Bears and bats, they live in a cave, but that's irrelevant here. So back to the subject we steer. Snapshot saves you money when you drive safe. I wear corduroy pants. I don't mind that they chafe.
The better you drive, the more you can save with Snapshot from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
What am I doing flying through space on a cheetah made of lightning? It's a metaphor for Simple Mobile's blazing fast 4G LTE network. With Simple Mobile, you get this network and truly unlimited high-speed data for just $60 a month. If you want better wireless, the answer is simple.
Available at Target, Best Buy, and other national retailers. Video typically streams at DVD quality. To get 4G LTE speed, you must have a 4G LTE capable device and 4G LTE SIM. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at Simple.
Hey, it's our time. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
Just sit right back and you'll hear it.
Time now for what to watch on TV tonight. Hockey takes front and center. Coming up at the top of the hour, game five between the Rangers and the Canadiens. That one is tied at 2. Coming up at 7, it'll be the Blackhawks and the Predators. That's on the NBC Sports Network and on your Fox Sports South. Rangers game is on USA. You'll find it there. On NBC Sports Network, the San Jose Sharks and the Edmonton Oilers is game 2 in that deal. Good puck night, man. Good puck night. Basketball, the Cavaliers will win game 3 against the Pacers. That starts top of the hour. And Spurs at Grizzlies. We'll see if the Grizzlies come out with any kind of grit. After their coach went on that epic rant and see if that picks them up at all and if that means anything to those guys. Also, of course, baseball tonight, the Nationals and the Braves. It'll be the final game of that series. Can the Braves get a win before they shove off onto their next road trip? On your networks tonight, is there anything that I like? There's nothing. Scandal, scandal, the catch. Oh, NBC. What's NBC got? Blacklist, Blacklist. Oh, new Blacklist. Doubleheader of Blacklist. The original, not Redemption, the original. Got a bunch of these Redemptions sitting there. Blacklist is back. That's good. Amazing Race. What are you watching tonight, McT?
Oh, I'm definitely going to be locked into that Preds game for sure. And, yeah. You know, I might flip over to the Bucks game because that series I think is going to be interesting. But you're not going to get me off that Preds game. No way.
It's good puck night. Good puck night. My wife's sister is here from out of town. They'll be happy to hunker down and watch every episode of HGTV and DIY. Oh,
you're getting off scot-free then. Free hockey, yeah.
Yeah. It's a good deal. All right, that's going to do it. for us. Tony Mack makes the show, did a tremendous job. I'm Tom Abraham. We'll see you tomorrow right here at 730-1039. Yep.
Interrupt your program for a special presentation of live play-by-play action on the ump. Crimson Tide Baseball is on your dial now. First pitch is coming up. On the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
First pitch, fly ball, deep left field. It is gone.
This is Alabama Crimson Tide Baseball, presented by Coke Zero. Real Coca-Cola taste, zero calories. Golden Flake, the flavor of the South, and the official snack of the Crimson Tide for over 50 years. Cook's Pest Control and the Centricon System, the unbeatable combination for termite protection. Also brought to you by Regions Bank, proud partner of the Crimson Tide and the official bank of the Southeastern Conference. Southern Ale House. Eat Southern. Drink Southern. Be Southern. Southern Ale House. Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics. Shop ChooseNissan.com. Innovation that excites. Also by Winn-Dixie, the official supermarket of the Crimson Tide and proudly serving the Southeast since 1925. And by Bud Light. With Bud Light, you're not just drinking beer, you're building friendships. Crimson Tide Baseball is on the air. Here's Lee Tracy and Chris Stewart.
On a beautiful night in Starkville, Mississippi, the Alabama Crimson Tide gets set to take on the 11th-ranked Bulldogs of Mississippi State. Welcome, everybody, to Duty Noble Field, Polk DeMint Stadium. Along with Lee Tracy and our studio engineer, Jerry Kelly, I'm Chris Stewart. The Crimson Tide coming in with a 15-22 overall record, 2-13 in Southeastern Conference play, are facing a Bulldog squad that's now 25-14 on the year. They currently sit at 10-5 in Southeastern Conference play. But Alabama is coming off of its best offensive performance of the year. The Tide cranking out 13 hits en route to an 18-1 victory over the Braves of Alcorn State two nights ago. The Tide run ruling the members of the Southwestern Athletic Conference. The Tide hoping for a similar offensive performance tonight against one of the top lefties for the Bulldogs in Connor Pilkington. Their sophomore is only 3-3 on the year, but his ERA is at 3. And in 57 innings of work, he's allowed just 39 hits, 22 runs, 19 of those earned, with 20 walks, but he has fanned 72 on the year. Dylan Duarte is the sophomore lefty for Alabama that'll try to counter. He's 2-3 on the year. His ERA is just over 4, and in 9 starts, he has given up 49 hits, 26 runs, 22 of those earned. He's only walked 12 batters, but only recorded 36 strikeouts on the season. The Bulldogs are coming off of a midweek loss at South Alabama on Tuesday, and prior to that, they dropped the deciding game, or not the deciding game, excuse me, but the final game of their series at South Carolina. The Bulldogs able to move up in the national rankings after taking the first two against the then eighth-ranked Gamecocks, 7-4, 5-4, and then they dropped a 6-1 decision on Saturday in Columbia. So the Tide taking on the Bulldogs, a longtime rival. In fact, 413 matchups will be the total number of games between these two programs after this one gets underway tonight. Alabama, the all-time advantage at 215, 193, with four ties. State has been good here in Starkville, though, as you would expect, holding a 108-80-2 advantage over Alabama. We have found out that due to the threat of weather on Saturday, that we're actually going to play two games tomorrow. Many of our affiliates are aware of this, but want to make sure that you know the Tide and the Bulldogs are scheduled to play two games on Friday to wrap up the series. So we'll get started tomorrow at 4 with a 3:55 airtime on the network. We're expecting about 30 minutes between ball games, and then the third and final game will get underway tomorrow night. It is conceivable that Alabama and Mississippi State could wrap up the series before many of these teams have completed game one of theirs around the Southeastern Conference this weekend. But we look forward to bringing you this one here tonight in Starkville. Right now, while we've got an opportunity, why don't we pause 10 seconds so our local stations can identify themselves to you. Welcome to the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The Ump.
The Alabama Baseball Pregame Show is presented by